All right, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you guys today? Good?
Good.
Good. Same here. All right, I'll just open us up in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this congregation. Thank you for our church family, our families, friends. Thank you for your word that we could study it on our own and see if those things are so. Be as Bereans and go out to the world and shine your light. And try to bring others to be saved and to learn the great truths that you have in, for us and for everyone. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. So, as you guys already know, that I've been in Colossians. And we did Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to be going through chapter 2, verse 1. But I wanted to kind of recap chapter 1. Quickly to kind of see what we've already been going through, and then we'll go through and we'll start off. But as you know, that the apostle's in jail, Apostle Paul is in Nero's palace, and he's writing to these Colossians that he's never met, and he heard of them. And it's a church that was made by someone that heard from him in Ephesus, and then someone named by the name of Epaphras went and made his own church from what we think is going on. And there's another church as well that we're going to find getting into called Laodicea. But and in verse 1, chapter 1, he goes through and he's, you know, seeing how they become, you know, grace believers and how the love they have for each other. And you see that Epaphras was kind of in on that, and Epaphras was in jail himself. And that and then in verse 17 you see the preeminence, you know, verse 17 through 20 you see the preeminence of Christ, and you kind of see that Christ is the creator, you know, not to get anything screwed up. So chapter 1 is kind of opening up for that. And then in chapter 2, it goes a little more deeper into the warnings that the Apostle Paul has to the Colossians. So we're going to go a little verse by verse. But my theme for today is the full assurance of God's Word. So, and we do have full assurance in His Word. And from going from there, let's start in chapter 2 in Colossians. And and you know what? I think I'm just going to read, because I'm going to try and get through chapter verses 1 through 7. So I'm going to read saying, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." So there's a lot there that we might not cover it all today, but there's a lot going on there. And we're going to get into, we're going to try and be Bereans today, and we're going to get into this word and let God's word speak for itself. And because God's word has power, and we're going to see that we're going to let that power flow through His word and through all of us. So verse 1, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." So Laodicea, just to get that out of the way, is a town church northwest of Colossae. It's very close, about 9 miles away. And it's in western Turkey. The town, I think it's called Denizli. And it's actually, if that name looks familiar, it's one of the churches in Revelation 1:11. It's one of those seven churches that are mentioned. And This church is also, from what I understand, is another Grace Church, just like Colossae, that they learned in, through the Apostle Paul. So, just to get some background on that, but that great conflict. So, another word for conflict is striving, struggle, and I think it's that struggle. So, the Apostle Paul, you know, he wanted the Colossians to know the mystery, and they did know the mystery, and they, and it was the, one of the most important things in his life, you know, to strive. And he was in jail, so he's striving. He's like, you know, he wants people to know that mystery and to know what's going on and what he's got to preach that the Lord Jesus, you know, shown him. And he's seen that these Colossians are doing pretty well for themselves, and, you know, he gave them a pure understanding of the mystery, you know. And it's in, so, you know, he was with those who rejected Christ and opposed the truth and persecuted him for preaching it, so that the truth of the gospel might continue in Colossae and in us. So we have the same kind of thing that Paul was, had many conflicts going on. You know, he was in jail. So that's one thing, but he wanted us to know so badly about what he was taught to him, and he—that's we should have that same kind of, you know, perseverance, and that where we want to know people to know what's, you know, what's the hope that's in us, you know. So, and that's basically that conflict, you know, that he's got, you know, he calls it a great conflict. You know, they persecuted him for preaching it. And he wanted that truth of the gospel to go out. And hopefully that, you know, I try to have that conflict, or that conflict within ourselves, you know, to want to, you know, give out the gospel. So, verse 2, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto, that word unto is kind of important, all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and the Father in Christ. So there's a lot in that verse, and that full assurance of understanding. So there's three places in the Bible that speaks of full assurance. So do we, you know, in this world there's not a lot of full assurances. You know, there's you can wake up tomorrow, you don't know what's going to happen. You know, family, friends. I mean, just look at the Ukraine. Ukraine, they don't, I'm sure the kids and people there, they have no clue what's going to happen the next day, you know, and even in Russia, you know, it's going back and forth, and even through all of Europe area, the European areas, and they probably don't have no clue, but, you know, the gospel is the only thing that you could have full assurance of Christ, that you can know, you know, even in the war times and even in these good times that we're in, you know, even though we got our problems here, I mean, it's not the same as the war-torn areas over there. So, you know, we can pray for them and that they can get the gospel, and they, because that's where the full assurance comes from. So I want to kind of dig deep in this full assurance, because, I mean, when you're assured, right? You know what you got. So we're going to find out what we got. So that's, so this is one of the three that's going on, and we can go into Hebrews and take another look at this full assurance that we have. And it's a threefold going on here. So Hebrews, let's go to chapter 10, verse 22. Chapter 10, verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Okay, so the first one we had in Colossians is the full assurance of understanding. This one they call in it the full assurance of faith. So, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Okay, so from what I understand, this full assurance of faith is that we believe the word and everything that comes with it. We have eternal life. We have all these things. And this is part of the threefold that I'm going to get into, but this is the first one. So we have the first full assurance of faith. And that we know that we have eternal life. We know that we have a Christ that lives. He has redeemed us. We have a Savior, and that's what the... So I wanted to get into that. So the second one, we can go into... We're in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11. We're going to kind of skim through here. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. So unto the end, the full assurance of hope. So that's the other full assurance. So we have the full assurance of faith, we have the full assurance of hope, and we have the full assurance of understanding. So it's in that order. But that full assurance of hope is an experiential part of our Christian life. So that's the experience that we go through. And we have hope knowing that through our experiences. And there's a thing that I've read that a man is saved by faith and then he experiences tests. So we have our full assurance of faith, and now through our tests, we know that we have the full assurance of hope. So we can live through this life and know that we have that hope that can emit from us, and we know that we have hope, and we can apply, and we can show others that hope, and you can live assured that Christ is, you know, with us. So, and he does, and he is a God that cannot lie, you know. Right. And we have, and there's no lies in our Lord. It's all truths. So these, we can have our full assurance in these beautiful truths. So. So we have faith, believing in His Word, and everything that comes with it, that eternal life. Everything that comes in that faith. And then you have the experiential part, hope. And then you have that understanding. So let's go back to Colossians chapter 2. And that full assurance of understanding, this one's a good one, okay? This is where we want to be at, okay? Of this understanding. This is by studying your Bible diligently to understand and rightly divide it so that you can share these truths intelligently with others. I desire that we all have this train of thought. Once you get to this point, you find joy, peace, satisfaction, glory once your understanding becomes full. So this is where we want to be at. So we want to be able to rightly divide the scriptures, memorize some scriptures, and that's that full assurance of understanding that we understand what we're teaching, and that we understand what we got in Christ, and that we can share this with others, because there's always going to be questions. There's always going to be what ifs, or there's always going to be denials, and that's where as we grow in our full assurance of understanding, we can be able to defend the faith and defend our Lord Jesus Christ and defend the Bible and be like, well, this is this and this is that. And once you get them three full assurances down, then nothing can stop you, you know, because we can stand firm on the foundation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the Apostle Paul is basically through his epistles. And they say that Paul wrote Hebrews too. So, you know, that's, we can stand on these truths and thank the Lord for that, you know. And let's break down verse 2 a little bit. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. So that mystery of God, he mentions the Father and Christ. So this is something different. If you read more into Colossians chapter 2, you see that we're complete in Christ. And the God, and he speaks of the Godhead. And this is that mystery of God, that the Godhead is... This is something totally taught different than in past. This is something different. This is a mystery program that things were kept secret. And we all know, like in Deuteronomy 29, that the secret things are of God. So if God wanted to keep a secret, he can do that. And that's what he did. And he kept the secret until the times come. Because in Colossians, you see that In chapter 2, verse 15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. And so that secret, he was in triumph, you know, at the cross, and there was no losing. He won, and he won everything. He took everything back, and so Satan has a limited time, and he's working overtime to try to deceive our people, deceive us, deceive the world. Because he knows his time is limited. So, and praise God for that, that we have triumphed and we have full assurance in that triumph. And so, unto all the riches. So this is the Colossians, their hearts, he wanted their hearts might be comforted and being knit. See, the Colossians had a great love for this. You know, they had a great love for this message. And they were knit, and he said that comfort, and they wanted, and that's how we have it. I know this church is a beautiful church, and we are knit in that comfort, because I know a lot of us are full assured. So that's a beautiful thing. And, you know, the Colossians can be an example for us, an example to the world. And that's what they are here. So in verse 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So that's that Godhead in Christ and the Father and the Holy Spirit, that these treasures. So, you know, I want to go to, let's see, you know, the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. Right. You know, and so these treasures of wisdom and knowledge, you know, that's, we have that. We know what God's secret was. We know the treasures that he's got for us and all that wisdom and understanding. And that's that full assurance where, you know, Paul is saying here. And to unveil the hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge, we must recognize that they are hidden in Christ and the mystery program that the triune God established before the world began. So this is something that he established before the world began, and this is that secret. So, and we can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Kind of back up what's going on here, because as we all know, we compare scripture with scripture, and that's, you let the spiritual things discern the spiritual things. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20, and I also like to bring up Job, you know, where Job was going through all his stuff, and in verse 38 there, where God says, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? You know, who are you? Even though Job was, you know, humbled or whatever, he still, God was putting him on the spot, you know? And he went through all of them tribulation. He's like, where were you when I did all these things? See, God has his own wisdom and his own. So, verse 20. And chapter 1. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. In verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Verse 27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of this world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. So God has chosen, you know, the world don't understand what God is doing, you know, because they are going in their own strength. They see what strength that's not of the Lord. And we understand it through Paul's epistles. We see what God's doing, you know, what confines the strong and what confines. And it's God's wisdom, which is infinite, and it trumps anything the world tries to throw our way. And that's what we have. That's our full assurance and what we can, you know, bet our bottom dollar on that. you know. So back in Colossians chapter 2. So now we've kind of seen, you know, that the Lord has his own ways on doing things and how he wants to do it. And verse 4. And this verse is kind of like a setup for the whole chapter. And it's, you know, the warnings. But in here, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. So how many times have we seen that or hear that? You know, the enticing words. And, you know, when I know people that they go to churches just because it sounds good, just because they have the music, just because it's that my preacher is, you know, he knows what he's doing, or he sounds so lovely, and he knows how to make the scriptures flow so beautifully. But that's, you know, that beguile there, that's deceiving. Okay, God is saying that, and Paul is saying, and this I say, lest any man should deceive you with enticing words, with attractive words, with attractive things. And that's what the world is doing, trying to attract you away from the truth, from what Paul's epistles has got going on, with what the Bible is doing. And as we all know, that Satan does a lot of his work in the church. A lot of it. And that's the truth, whether people want to believe it or not. That's, you know, that's where you can ask the Lord to find discernment, because, you know, we're living in this world in 2022 that, you know, this is, things are screwed up these days, you know, and people don't know what's what, what's where, and where you can find that is God's Word. And you can do that on your own, you know. It's not just listening to people and just saying, oh, well, this pastor's saying this or this, and that's good, you know, like you can get things from different pastors, but you want to find out for yourself. That's the truth of it all. That's where Christ, that personal relationship with Christ, find out for yourself. You know, we always need teachers so we can kind of grow and learn. But at the same time, these are things that you want to have an intimate relationship with God's Word. Because, you know, I've heard it before. You know, I think it was Dave Stewart, that when you read the Bible, God is talking to you. When you pray, you're talking to God. You know, and that's when you're praying, you know, the Lord hears you, and he, you know, and the peace that passeth all understanding. But when you're reading, God is talking to you. This is his infinite word. He put his word above all his name. And that's a strong statement there. So, and so that beguiles the charm and the chant, deceptive ways. And the devil hates Paul's message. Oh, that's one of his, he can't stand it, you know. I already know, because the first thing out of other believers' mouth, who is Paul? Paul what? Paul this, Paul that. And that's that verse that my new favorite verse that I've been getting into is that 2 Peter. Because you could say, okay, well, Peter himself acknowledges Paul as Scripture. That is Scripture. Okay? That is, you want to follow the 12 and the Lord Jesus, and that's fine. But no, Peter himself said that this is, you know, Scripture, and that Paul, you know, all his Scripture, meaning that this is something that you should follow, you know. So, and I want to go to Galatians chapter 1, and this is some of these are some verses that we know, but I kind of want to get into them because for me, they're serious. Yeah, this is, to me, this is one of the most things that should take you by surprise. I mean, by like fear of the Lord. Okay, Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. I marvel. Remember, these Galatians were stooped in legalism. So Paul is just saying, "Whoa, wow, you know what is going on here? I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." So that another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you, and would pervert the gospel of Christ. That's what's going on today. That's what was going on in their day. They're perverting the gospel of Christ. And that's what that verse 4 in Colossians is saying, that beguile. Verse 8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That's some strong language there. Let him be accursed. That means Paul is saying, anybody preach anything else out of this book, out of these books? Anything preaching legalism? He's telling this to the Galatians. Ain't you teaching anything else than Paul's epistles and what's our gospel for today? Let him be accursed. So for me, that's one of the reasons why when I teach, I get a little nervous, because it's serious. Amen. God's word is serious business. Even though we can joy in His and the things He's asked for us, this is serious business. You know, just like you're on a job site and you're at work, you want the customer to be satisfied, and it's serious when you're on a job. Yeah, you can play around or whatever, have your fun, but in the end, it's serious, and that's what God's word is. And I try and keep that in memory, because when we're teaching others and showing others, it's serious. People, you know, God's trying in the business of trying to save souls, and that's, these souls are people, you know. They're people that we love, you know, they're family members, you know, and they... And, you know, it's like sometimes you become, you know, in your past or whatever, you become a bad example, you do something wrong, and it's like they kind of push you away because of one thing you do. And that's why the Lord always wants us to reach the mark of perfection, to be the best that we can be, to be an example, because this business of souls, trying to get people to learn this book, is serious. And that's what this verse is saying. No. Let him be accursed that teaches something else, another gospel, adding to or taking away. And that's, you know, one church that always stands, one denomination that always stands in mind is the Mormonism, the Mormon church. That's just to point them out. I mean, Joseph Smith himself said that he got it from an angel. And this is saying, it don't matter who you're getting it from, people, an angel, let him be accursed. So... that's one thing that always stands out to me, because I spoke to them, and people have, you know, are sincere, but they're sincerely wrong, you know, and that's the scariness of it all. So I wanted to get into that just to kind of be like, yep, this is, you know, serious business, and there was a false doctrines going on before, and it's always going to be going on until the Lord brings everything together unto Himself, because it's happening in the past, it's going to happen today, it's probably going to happen tomorrow, and it's just constant bombardment of the truth and just making a, you know, just making a mockery of God's word, and that's basically what it is. We're just making a mockery of our Lord Jesus Christ's word and everything that it is. And that's, you know, we live our lives kind of, you know, we live day to day, but that's one thing that I try and keep in mind, because it is a mockery, you know, and that's why we are ambassadors, to put our foot down and say, hey, no. And I know it's hard at times, because you know, but that's what we're here for. You know, and so let's see, to kind of, and he's warning these Colossians all this stuff. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let's see, let's just kind of expound on this real quick. Whew. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and let's just start in verse 2. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. See, that's that wisdom of men again, that enticing words. That's and that's not what Paul's saying. That's not what we're here for. We're here to get, like when we come to church, we have fellowship and we come together and we learn and edify, not to get a feel-good message, just to kind of, that sounded great, but and it'd be good to sound great, even with us, but like, as long as the truth is being said, that's what matters, the truth. So, and, here we go. Let's just move forward in verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. There goes that mystery secret again. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. This is our glory. Oh, this secret, this hidden wisdom, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That's another strong statement. If the princes of this world, talking about the angels and the principalities, they would have known that they wouldn't have killed the Lord Jesus. Like, nope, that's it. Let them do this. But the Lord, in His infinite wisdom, that we're talking about in Colossians, He knew all these things, and He made a show of them, and He put Himself, and that's where they were getting into deeper of who He is, the Godhead, and that Colossians. So we can go back to Colossians. Everything good? How's that? Everything sounding pretty good? Yeah. Any questions? Anything you guys want to? Anything? Any comments? Quick comments? Yeah.
I think what people have a tendency to do, and I'm listening to you, okay?
Yes.
We have a tendency sometimes to forget that we are to ignore the other part of the Bible, but that's not what Paul is saying. You follow me? He's just stressing that we are under grace,
mm-hmm.
not the law.
Right.
He ain't saying the other part of the Bible don't have no reverence.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, correct. Yep. And I think both sides get mixed up. The grace believers sometimes get mixed up, and then the people who don't put Paul first, they're like, well, But go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I agree, because I think, we're all sometimes. But God says that the whole Bible is for our understanding and learning. Not just Paul's epistles, and not just the four Gospels, not just the Old Testament. The whole thing, all Scripture is profitable.
So
the whole counsel. Yep. So
if you don't understand this, you're not going to understand.
Right. Because if you get the...
like what you said, enticing words. Antichrist, he's going to be an eloquent speaker.
Mm-hmm. Yes, of course.
Human wisdom, human viewpoint. Come with that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm sure he's going to be the best. He's going to be one of the best at it, and he's going to be able to trick many people into going against what God is doing in them days, So, all of Scripture is profitable for sure, and that's what makes you a more complete, individual in Christ. And that's where that full assurance of understanding comes in, because now you understand all the counsels of the Lord instead of just trying to pick one because your pastor told you, or this is something that my grandfather showed me and I'm just going to go by that, or my grandmother, she showed me this, so this is the right way. But God wants us to, the Lord Jesus, he's like, what did they ask him that about his mother? And he's like, well, all these believers are my mother and my brother and my sister. The Lord's basically saying, I come first. Yeah.
God come first. He said, he said, your mother and your brother, they want to see you.
And
Jesus says, hey, my duty is not to them. My duty is to my Father.
Yes.
Who is my mother and my brother?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Who is she?
Yeah, and that's where...
Those that hear the word of God.
Yeah, and that's where, you know, the Lord says that God comes first.
Right,
that's
right. And we need to make the same decision.
Mm-hmm.
I love my wife, I love my husband, but hey, take your back seat here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No. And so that's where we want to be, for sure. We want to be at that spot where we want to put God first in all things in our life. You know, and God says that today, our instructions for today is through Paul's epistles. And that's what God says to do. So if you want to put God first, you know, it's not me saying it. It's God saying it over and over again. You just have to have the Lord, that the Holy Spirit opens your, you know, your mind and your heart to these things. Because if you want to be biased, that's what a lot of people do. They want to be biased and stay in their biasness of what they believe instead of with the open mind. But okay, moving forward. And, I appreciate the church. I appreciate everything because it's, you know, I could be somewhere else, you know, in the ditch somewhere. So I was glad to be here. It is true. I mean, if you knew me, but in the past, the Lord has worked mightily in me, you know, just to be here amongst you. So
amen.
I'm grateful for that. So I'm in verse 5. Alright, so now we've seen the enticing words. And verse 5, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of the faith in Christ. So, you know, that he was hundreds of miles away when he wrote that. And, you know, he was in Rome, Apostle Paul, and he's just saying, you know, that he's, you know, he's with them in spirit, enjoying and beholding their order. Okay, so Colossians had some kind of order going on because he was happy that they were growing in grace and in truth and in sound doctrine, and that they were steadfast, that they were solid and firm in what they were getting taught and what they were believing, and so that's what that's going on there, but. Let's see. I want to go into. Let's just back us up. Let's go back to Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Yep. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. All right. Kind of back to confirm our verses here, you know. 1 Corinthians 14, and we can start at chapter 14 and verse 37. Alright. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. So that's a thing in its own, that these are the commandments of the Lord, okay? Paul saying this, and this is God's word saying this, this ain't me. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophecy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. And that's when things are decently and in order, you're in what Paul's teaching today. And that's what he's telling the Corinthians, which were kind of unorderly in their in what they were doing. But, you know, he's letting them know. So that's a confirmation of that. Let's go back to Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. So what we receive. A lot of people think that you have to work towards salvation, even when they know we are saved by grace through faith. There's a lot of people who believe that. So they know that Christ, that this is a free gift, but they still want to get stooped into doing things. And I think it's just a human instinct to be religious. You know, it's a human instinct just to want to be feel good and be like, I'm doing this for God, and we're, you know, but it's like we all know that once you keep one part of the law, you have to keep the whole law, and that's a lot. That's something that's not going on. You know, if I would imagine that you would have to do animal sacrifices, and I think you'd look a little crazy if you were doing all that. So, you know, there's a lot of so. Yeah, that's, and when you try to work for your salvation, you never really know if you're saved or not. You can never be sure. To me, that is a scary and an uncertain place to be. You think about it, you know, you're just going to be working, and it's like, you know, and I would like to put our Catholic brothers on the spot, because that's their main thing, you know. They have all these things. How do you know for sure? Just think about it. Give yourself a quick, you know, thought process and be like, am I really going? But no, this full assurance that we got, that full assurance of faith, that's where we know that we're going to be going to heaven, period. There's nothing left. You know, the only thing after that is the full assurance of hope, where we, you know, we go through tests through this life because we have some work to do for the Lord, you know. And
the word hope. It's a confident expectation of a future certainty.
There you go.
Hope of eternal life is God that cannot lie. Promise.
I appreciate that. That's good. I like that. Yep. That's good. I like that one. Yeah, that's that hope, you know, that we have that in the Lord, and that's, you know. And once we have received Christ, we are to be in service to Him. That's where we were talking. Paul recognized this right away when he was on the road to Damascus. He's first thing he said was, "What shall I do, Lord?" That was the first thing he was on when he got saved. What shall I do? And that's what, you know, that's probably a question we can ask ourselves often, every day. You know, what shall I do? And don't get, you know, no one's perfect. We all fall short. You know, we all. No pun intended. But we all fall short, and that's, you know, you just get yourself back up. The Lord accepts you who you are. He knows you. That's where that past, present, and future sins are being of.
If the man of God may be perfect, that means spiritually mature, not sinless, but spiritually Spiritual maturity.
That we know that we can't stop sinning, but we want to be the best that we can be in the Lord, you know, and spiritually mature and to grow and get the meats and, you know, not be as babes as the Corinthians, because they weren't spiritually maturing themselves. But as you spiritually mature yourself, you're going to be doing less of those things that are sinful in the eyes of the Lord. And that's where I feel that I'm grateful for the Lord, that I, you know, I still have my issues, but I'm spiritually maturing, and I'm grateful for that infinitely, you know. And, you know, in God, you know, we have, like, that full assurance of hope. We have duties, and, you know, and that's what men should all, you know, men should always work, and men should always be, you know, providing, and men should try and get, you know, this gospel out to the Lord. Men and women alike, and everyone. So, you know, that's our duties as here on earth. And when we do those things to the best of our abilities or as much as we can, we got some good goodies in store for us in heaven. So, you know.
Paul is simply saying, you know, we can do anything in this world we want to do.
Yeah.
You become a Christian, but one something. You're not supposed to sin.
No.
If you can do anything other than sin, you're fine. But we can't do it.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely.
Like Christians I'm talking about, like to see how close they can live to the edge.
Yeah. That's where we get in trouble. Yeah, and the Lord says you can't serve two masters.
Right.
Yep, you know. And I think that's where a lot of, you know, the Christians, they want to serve two masters. And I know that was me at one point. It can be in, you know, certain times, but you can't be, you, once you mature, you understand that you can't serve two masters. It's you want to have one foot in the world and one foot on this side. And I'm definitely, go ahead.
The issue of sin has been settled. We're dead to sin and alive unto God.
Amen. Amen. Yep.
And brother's still there.
So, yeah, and so that verse, that's that verse 5. We have received Christ, and you know, we have a verse 6. So walk ye in Him.
Amen.
You know, and all right, and we will. Finish in verse 7. Rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And that rooted, I got some input on this verse, and it's an ongoing process of growth. When it comes to grace of God, there is no graduating class. So that means, I got that from Brother Boyd. Boyd was, I got a question from him, and he kind of, gave that to me, and it just sounded good. You know, there is no graduating class. It's ongoing. You're going to constantly be getting, you know, it's a ongoing process, and, you know, and, what was I going to say? You know, rooted, we want to be rooted in the mystery, you know, in grace. Built up, God is doing the building through the Holy Spirit. So, you know, the Holy Spirit builds us up. And established, making firm. God is making us, you know, firm in Him. So, to be rooted up, and that's what the Colossians, they were rooted in the mystery, rooted in grace. And grace, it's over 100 times mentioned in Paul's epistles. But it's only a few times that it's mentioned in, you know, the word grace, that it's mentioned in the Old Testament 37 times, and in the Gospels, I'm pretty sure it's only mentioned 4 times. And this word grace, and that's what, in Paul's epistles, that's what it's all about. That's why it's always peace and grace to you when he's telling everyone. And that's what we have today. We have peace and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that He died, you know, on the cross for our sins, for our past, present, and future sins, and that we have eternal life in Him. And all you have to do is that we are, you just believe. There's no works in that. So that's all the Lord requires. You just believe for salvation. Then He wants you to do what He was saying, you know, like the Apostle Paul said, "What shall I do?" You know, do something, right? So,
yeah, the Colossians have been beguiled away from who the person of Christ really was.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, in the first chapter, he lays out Christ's absolute deity, and this is where they were allowing. This is where they were being beguiled away from. And then in verse 2, he says, "To the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and the Father of Christ, in whom." All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So he puts the three together to show the solidity, the solidarity between the three, and that Christ is not less a lesser being,
right,
of any That's... kind at all.
Amen.
And, he goes on, and of course, in verse 6, that he has therefore received, and uses the full title Christ Jesus the Lord. Emphasizing that Jesus Christ is Lord,
yeah.
God. He has the full attributes of deity, and if Christ is not fully God and fully man in one person, well, then we can work. Then there is something we can do to work for our salvation.
Mm-hmm.
He's not God in absolute, God in human flesh.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
There is something we can chip in.
Right.
And this is what kind of these Colossians were being led into.
Nice.
The idea that they contain a higher status within themselves.
Right. No, that was great, goodly said, because I was thinking that the Godhead, they're co-equal. They're all, none is above the other, and that.
And there really isn't in legalism that they were. It's some type of philosophy.
Philosophy.
Not hardcore legalistic Galatianism.
Right.
That they were being led into some kind of mystical philosophy.
Mm-hmm. And that's where I'm pretty sure Paul probably heard that was going on in the church, that somebody was trying to bring philosophy into their church. Or
it's still going on today, but you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You got to deal with it. It's still going on today. It's no different. And Paul said, don't get sidetracked by that stuff. We need to say the same thing. Don't get sidetracked by that stuff, you know.
Amen. Anybody else? Good. All right. I'm going to close this off in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this, for your word to be open and to be spoken and to be distributed to the saints, and that we can take this out into the world and ask the same thing that Paul did. What shall I do, Lord, for you? And that we can have full assurance in your faith, in faith, hope, and understanding, and that we can be complete, and that we know that we're complete in you, and we can reach the mark of perfection and be the best that we can be in Christ, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.